This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, Paylus, Inchpes ek, Brian, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Hey, Brian, my kid's Armenian, right? And I both of them, one, been to Armenia, and, you know, she talks fluent Armenian too, God bless her. But the other one I'm having problems with, she's 8 years old right now, and you know what? Whatever I'm saying, she's replying back in English and all that. I was like, you know, there's got to be a solution to this. And unbelievable. I was contacted by Armine Hakopyan. She's part of this whole thing to where she thought the same thing I was thinking. Like, hey, we got to keep our kids thinking Armenian, talking Armenian, or just in our mindset, just thinking Armenian would be great. So I said, let's reach out to Armine. And Armine, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing great, thanks.
Was that a pretty good description of what you got going here? You work with trying to come up with better ways for the kids to, you know, just focus in on being Armenian.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of so many different things sort of, you know, put together. It's kind of hard to say that it's one thing, because unfortunately just one thing is not enough to, you know,
right,
keep kids speaking Armenian, thinking Armenian, or loving Armenian stuff, you know. So whenever I was thinking what kind of things should I do, I was like, okay, this is not enough. So I kind of went all in. And
Tell us about this. This is great, folks.
Well, it all started with just simple animation stuff that I would see my kids, you know, just, I couldn't tear them away basically from the television set. And they would get really simple nursery rhymes that we all know, you know, in English, that we've, you know, repeated in our heads a million times too. And when I watched them, you know, being engaged, I was like, why don't we have this same type of thing in Armenian? And that was sort of the inception of my whole thing, where I started thinking about that in everything I would see. So books and toys and all kinds of things I'd see. And I'm like, I wish we had this in Armenian. I wish we had that in Armenian.
Yeah.
And that same conversation. Yeah. And I found a lot of people having that same kind of thought, you know. And I was like, well, I can't wait. My kids were, at that time, I had just had my first child. She was eight. I mean, she's eight now. And then after that, I had two more kids. So this whole time, you know, as they were growing up, I was constantly thinking like, oh my gosh, they're getting older and they're missing out on some of these things that I wish we would do. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can do this. A few years back, I had started, you know, kind of just playing around with animation, because my background, I have a bachelor's degree in TV production. But animation was also a course that I had sort of, you know, kind of touched on. And I watched YouTube videos and just learned how to do some of the stuff and created an animation for the alphabet.
Wow.
And so that was, yeah, so that was just like a hobby-ish kind of thing that I did. But then I was like, why don't I kind of continue this? So I looked around to find people who might be better at it than me. And we met Henry Hovhannessian. At the time, he was working at DreamWorks, or he still was working at DreamWorks. And we contacted him. We told him, you know, me and my husband, we kind of were a team. So I said, you know, let's find someone to help us with this. And we went, we talked to him and said, we have these ideas. This is the kind of things we want to do. And he got really super excited. He had a kid too, and shared the same sort of, you know, problems with, you know, not having stuff to show their kids. I mean, it's not like it was a complete void. We had Pauline,
right,
and other, you know, really cool stuff, but I just wish that there was more.
And so, you know what, Armina, not to interrupt you, but how many times as a kid growing up, I had, you know, my parents would make me go. I'm in St. Louis. So my parents would make me go to Armenian church school on a Wednesday in Granite City, Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis. And it was like, it was something that we didn't like to do, but we had to do it because our parents made us do it. Now, so many parents, you know, they don't have the time because both parents work. It's difficult. Yeah. How great is it for something like this to where they could have it in the house, to where they could show it on the computer, to where they could show it on the TV? And, you know, it makes it much more convenient.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. And so that's where the whole website kind of came from, because we're like, we want it to be accessible. Whatever we end up doing, we want it to be accessible from anywhere, and for there to be as few hurdles as possible for parents to jump over in order to give kids what they want. Because I was actually in search of a website where they had, you know, I don't know, stories or animations or anything engaging so that, you know, I could just show my kids. And that was another thing I came across where it was super hard to find. And once I started the website, ArmenianKidsClub.com, once I started it a year or so into it, people were like, oh, you're doing this. Oh, did you see there's a website that has similar things? And I was like, really? I was like, I could not find it, you know, and I was actively looking for it. And so I said, one of the things that has to happen in what we're doing, it has to be just super available. It has to be very easy to find, very easy access, you know, to access.
Right.
Because unfortunately, all these wonderful things that people have done sort of stay in the shadows and don't even reach the people that are looking for them. So with the whole Facebook thing now and, you know, everything being so easy to create and stuff, we pretty much took it on our own. And, you know, we're doing all the promotion things. We're doing all the everything ourselves. And so far, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to say anytime we can help out, this is the type of stuff that I love to help out with.
Yeah, and I've been listening to your show for about maybe 6-7 months when I discovered it, and I discovered it through Anush, through her wine stuff, you know, her
wine segments
about.
yes,
that's what brought me here, and I was like, oh my god, this is awesome, you know. And I love listening to all the different people on there doing, you know, whatever they can, and whatever, you know, they feel passionate about in the Armenian world, trying to, you know, keep it going,
keep it going alive, right.
And so
well, you know what, Armina, the work that you're doing, when you put this thought mind together to get this thing off and running, I mean, we think about, you know, it's great, the Yerak Queen, the Armenian flag, but we don't pursue. I'm in the middle of the United States. It's tough for us to be Armenian. And this is the type of stuff that really helps out throughout the country and throughout Canada, throughout Asia, throughout South America, for Armenians out there that say, hey, you know what, I still want my kid to at least know, you know, the Armenian way of talking.
Yeah.
So this is this is great. This is great.
And what we're doing is everything we have is in both Eastern and Western Armenian, because when I was doing all the research, and I found things, for example, websites based in Armenia, and they were just in Eastern Armenian, and there was no English text, so people in the diaspora really weren't able to engage with it as much. And there's a site based from Istanbul. They have wonderful things. And I don't know, I can give you the links to all of these too, just because the more the better that, you know, we engage with these kinds of things. They were based there, but theirs was it was based on Western dialect. Mm-hmm. So some of the, you know, Eastern speaking Armenians weren't able to engage as much. So what I thought was, we need to make sure that there, like I said, as few hurdles and as few barriers as possible. So everything we do it in Eastern and Western. What we've done so far, if you like, I could list some of the things that we've done, because after the animation that I started off, I said, you know what, at the time I had a lot of unfinished projects I had just started and never finished because, well, I have three kids, so. There were a lot of unfinished things, and I said, you know, guys, this is the stuff I had been working on. What do you think, should I, you know, finish it? And one of them was a coloring book with the alphabet. A few of them I had created a few poems and things like that, so I finished those, and what we ended up doing was the first time that we sort of came out to the world as an organization, as a company, was during October, which is here in the West Coast and mostly in Southern California. It's Armenian Cultural Month in October. So there were like a lot of festivals, a lot of the schools, the private schools were doing festivals, organizations and stuff were doing festivals. So we went and participated in these festivals with three coloring books. One of them was the alphabet coloring book we had. The other one was teaching numbers. And the other one was just a little poem I came up with, animated the poem, and then from the animation created the characters for the coloring book. Hmm. And we really, really had such an amazing response from teachers, parents, kids, and we had not initially set out to do anything really printed because we wanted it to be digital based. But after that kind of an experience where people were like, this is amazing, you know, we're so happy that someone's doing something like this, because the images, the pictures were more colorful and, you know, just friendlier. Some of the Armenian coloring books that I came across, you know, during my research, were very kind of old school.
Thank you.
You know, not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried to watch an Armenian animation from, like, my wife said to me, she's Armenian from Armenia, and she's like, oh, we used to watch this. This is great. And I watched it. It was the most depressing thing. It was a chicken that was about to be beheaded. And I'm like, what the hell is so good about this? There's a wolf here, and there's a butcher, and there's a sad, leery type of music in the background, and I'm like, this is not animation that I think the kids would be interested in nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and everything that you said, it was just not the animation, everything, like some of the books, the way that they had created the books. You know, this was, I'm talking about maybe 8 years ago. The book printing right now in Armenia is that it's improved so much. Like, they've started actually thinking about, you know, the paper quality so that it doesn't tear when you just, you know, flip through it. I mean, mm-hmm. The books that we had when I was, you know, younger, and when I was trying to introduce it to my kids, they were such, you know,
not in good shape.
They weren't really made.
Yeah.
And they were not made with kids in mind. So that was one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we were considering, that things have to be something that a kid wants, not a parent wants for a kid, but an actual kid wants for themselves, you know?
Right.
So because that's the only way you're going to get them to be really engaged without forcing them.
That they love it, so, that they have to love, they have to enjoy it. So.
Right. So everything we do is very simple. Everything we do is very kid-friendly. Besides the animation, we have right now, we've in this 1 year, so October 15 will be the day that we went to our first festival and presented our book. So we're actually going to be attending the same festival that we did last year again this year. But this time we have about 10 coloring books that we're going to be presenting. So we, in this 1 year span, have put together a calendar. And this calendar is really special, actually, very special to me, because what I was doing was, like, you know, all these famous Armenians, all these people that we revere and are so special to us, they need to be known to our kids too. And again, the same way that, you know, some of the other things are introduced, they're very sad and very, you know, not kid friendly.
Right.
So that was another thing that I started thinking about. And what we did was started a book series, a biography book series, for kids. And our very, very first one was, of course, Hovhannes Tumanyan. Without him, there is no children's world, really, in the Armenian world, because he created all the stories and all the characters that we are so fond of. And his biography was not really written for kids, ever, or for any person, really. So that's what we did, and we actually got the books from the printing place yesterday, our first batch of books, and we created a sort of a level system where we really didn't have this in Armenian either, where, you know, you start off with a small, like a lower level, really easy to read book with very few sentences, few, you know, really nice big pictures, sort of to encourage you to read. The very same way that, like, for example, other publishers, you know, in the United States have, like Scholastics and others, they've created a level system, and it's called like early reading system. And we created that as well for Armenian. So our level one is a very simple book with just one sentence and one image. And then the second level, you have a few more complex sentences, a little bit more of a storyline. And again, you know, nice sentences. And the level three has much more complicated sentences, a little bit fewer pictures, so it's a little bit more in-depth.
So it's kind of like a Kumon in math or something like that. It's like stages where – do you start off with an age bracket too, like from infants, and then you move on to like 3-year-old to 5-year-olds, from 6-year-olds to – you know what I'm saying on that?
Yeah. For the early reading books, once I created the system, now we're sort of just filling it in by publishing the books that are meant for that group. For example, the Tumanyan biography was written to be read by 8-year-olds about the age, you know, where they start. I mean, if you are learning Armenian, so this is if you already know the letters and have been reading a few sentences and are able to kind of read a little bit fluently. Which in, like, for example, the Saturday schools and the private schools, they at that age are able to, you know, 8, 9 years old, they're able to. So the Tumanyan was, you know, presented in that level. But right now, part of some of the projects waiting to be printed or illustrated are in the other levels. So what I'm trying to do is kind of have everything. People tell me you need to kind of concentrate on one area and then move on. But I find it hard to do that, because anytime I do something, someone will ask me, do you have this for a 4-year-old? You know, like when we did the coloring books, they were for about 6, 7-year-olds. And I had so many people asking me, do you have something for a 4-year-old or my kids too? Is there anything I can give them to, you know, because parents are so eager, you know, to have their kids do something in Armenian that.
No, it's important, Armina. It's really important that, I mean, what you got here is the developing Armenian that already kind of talks Armenian. I'm kind of looking forward to down the line. Here's my 2 cents. Here's that parent that's asking you to do something. But I would like to see, like, the Armenian blocks, the letters, and so forth, that the kid can just play with when as an infant, to know and understand what these are. Now, it's kind of like the world of America, because I'm not in Glendale. I'm not always talking Armenian with my kids and all that. So it's much more easier for that kid to be seeing, like, the pit and all this stuff on letters on blocks, and go, oh, I remember that. The, you know, in their mind, they'll put that thing out and they'll remember that word or that letter maybe like 3, 4 years later as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, well, you know, in child development, that's how they begin teaching things to kids, by touching things and playing with them.
Right.
You're absolutely right. What we did was we started off at that age group, but we're sort of kind of going up and down, you know, trying to... The awesome thing about our company is because we're not really part of any organization, this is our thing, it kind of runs on its own fuel. So it's really easy for us to brainstorm, come up with something, you know, start working on it, and in a few months have a product ready to go.
Right.
So so that's why we've been able to do so many things. And this coloring book is one of the things. We actually have a flashcard game that we've developed. So that's a little bit more for younger kids. But the age group you're talking about with blocks and letters, there are some companies doing that as well. I mean, I can send you links to the ones I know.
I'd love to have everything. Yeah.
Sure.
No, but my kid's 8 years old now. She's not going to play with blocks. But I'm saying if she was, back then, though, I would have loved to have that to just to have her play with and just to see, get a visual and try to understand a little bit better for the future understanding.
Yes. Yeah, you have to put the foundation down in order to get to these other levels of things. Yeah, absolutely. And actually, because we have these animations, and whatever we're doing on online, we're hoping would be that, because honestly, the blocks and letters and those kind of things, the reason we don't see more of it is because it's very, very expensive to produce, and because, you know, Armenians are kind of all over the place, you also have the shipping cost, there have been several companies who have been doing it and are doing it now, actually. Armenia has a lot of really, really cool stuff. But again, there's a lot of expense associated with it. So that's probably why it's not as prevalent as maybe other things. But I'm sure we'll get there, because I feel like there's some kind of like an awakening happening, where a lot of people are like, you know, this stuff is really, really important. Let's all get into it. You know, we have so many more things going on in, like, the kids, you know, Armenian kids' worlds. We have a lot of new artists, a lot of new songs, there's a lot more happening now. A lot of books, a lot more attention to those things. So I'm very confident that in the very near future, we're going to have things much more readily available, you know, from anywhere in the world. But for our plans in the future, we do have a few things. For example, recently we were working with Homeland Development Initiative Foundation, HDIF, in Armenia. I don't know if you know them.
Not familiar, but I will be.
Oh my gosh, you will love them. They are amazing. So Timothy Strait, he basically founded this organization in Armenia. He's been living there for a very long time, actually. And what he does is he goes out to the different regions in Armenia, so outside of Yerevan, and he approaches people, women, he doesn't approach them at this point. They kind of come to him now. But in the beginning, what he did was, you know, women who wanted to do work, handiwork, like crocheting and, you know, different, like, jewelry and things like that, he basically helped them create a business out of those kinds of things.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's doing really, really awesome stuff. Right now, there's Gordy's Women's Resource Center. And in 2013, they basically started a group called Gordy's Crochet. So they are crocheting cute little toys. They have, like, rattles. They have all kinds of things exactly for that age group that you're saying. They're not geared towards educational, but they are, you know, made in Armenia toys, basically. And we reached out to them because we have this really cool idea of taking the story by Tumanyan. I don't know if you're familiar. It's called Ulik.
Ulik?
Ulik, yeah. It's like little lamb.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's a really cool story that teaches, you know, kids about safety. And it was one of my kids' favorite stories. It's basically about this little lamb that the mom goes out to the fields, you know, grazes, comes back, gives the baby milk, And every time she comes back, she says, Sevukulik, Sirumbalik, Manemekes, Baresaj. Like, it's a really cute little poem. And then the wolf overhears this and tries it.
Damn that wolf. There's a wolf again.
Always a wolf.
Jesus. They find the wolves there. And these wolves, they look like they're on steroids. They're all pissed off looking. All right, go ahead. But the wolf has to ruin everything. Let's hear it.
So he comes and says, you know, I'm your mom. Open the door. And, you know, the little lamb.
Little Red Riding Hood type of thing, huh?
Yeah. Very similar. And but this time, you know, since it's an Armenian version, the little Ulik is really smart and right. says, you're not my mom. I'm not going to open the door.
It's an Armenian lamb. We're not opening that door, pal.
He's a bit of a, you know, character.
Right.
So what happens is, you know, he leaves and the mom comes back and says, you know, good job. It's a good thing you didn't open the door. And I mean, I really, really love that story because of the rhyme and because of the message.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing was we asked a wonderful illustrator. Her name is Lucina Sahakyan, and she was living in Armenia at the time. And she did a character design for us. So she created the most adorable, you know, characters. And the wolf, he's very cute too, even though he's a bad wolf. But very, you know, modern. Very
good, modern. Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear because wolves in the past are not good looking wolves.
No.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. Let me just tell you what we did with the Goris Crochet Group, the Women's Center Group. So what we did was send them these images of the characters, and they are doing finger puppets for us. So they're crocheting finger puppets.
Wow.
Of these characters, yeah.
That's productive.
And we will have them pretty soon. Yeah, so what we've been doing is reaching out. I mean, people who have written things for us include people from Armenia, from Russia. We have some illustrators who are working with us. So it's like this really big collaborative thing that's happening. And, yeah, it's very, very rewarding when you see the actual results at the end.
I am so proud of you, Armina. This is beautiful stuff. This is good work.
Thank you.
Because you know what, folks? I do the show, and I get a lot of feedback from you guys saying, you know what, thank you so much. This is great. This is the people that I think we should thank, too, because, you know what, to get our youth to think Armenian, to talk Armenian, to write Armenian, that's where it's at. If we don't have these people and our kids not following suit and following our generation, We've lost Armenian descent and history. So,
yeah.
God bless and keep up the great work. And how do people find us?
We are on Facebook. That's the most updated way that we communicate with everyone. But we do have a website as well. It's ArmenianKidsClub.com.
ArmenianKidsClub.com. All right.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That's very easy.
Same on Facebook.
All right. Same on Facebook. You guys can find it out, ArmenianKidsClub.com.
Yes.
All right. that's excellent. That's excellent. Thank you so much, Armina. And anytime you got something new, put it on our show. Message me, and we'll get it on our Toast to Armenia site. We'll get it up on our Armenia site too, and we'll put it on our right hand side. Why not? I mean, we've got a lot of people that listen to the show, and we've got 7,000 or I don't know on our Facebook. So you know what? Let them see it too.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Donald. Really appreciate it.
All right, Armenia, you take care and
thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks. And love what you do. So you also, you know, I have to
thank you for
bringing us all these people, all these things that I've heard about. I mean, just I wouldn't have known a lot about what's going on and, you know, a lot of things in Armenia as well because there's just so much information. There's so much stuff. So,
well, I was contacted by an Armenian that's, you know, in the American world, and he said, you know what, I found you by accident, and I like to just put my headphones on when I'm working out or I'm jogging in the morning or walking, and I like to listen to these episodes. So Thank you so much, folks. It makes a world of difference. And that's what I started this whole project on, just to get Armenians, the Western Armenians, to just know that we're much more than just a genocide people that have went through hell, you know? There's a lot of people that are trying to make a difference, and a lot of creative people and a lot of happy people, too.
Yes. And we need to invent a one word for fun. We need to come up with a word for fun.
Yeah, that's true.
I was having a hard time finding one word that means fun.
Well, I'm supposed to hook up with my Armenian friends from Armenia, and these guys have a lot of fun, and I'm sure they're going to create a new word over this weekend. So I'll get back with you on that word, too. Thank you
awesome.
So much, Armina.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care, John. Thank you.
Bye. All right. Well, folks, that was our interview with Armine Hakopian, and that was great, Brian. I mean, that was good, informative stuff, and that was stuff that, you know, that we need to know about how to help our future kids know Armenian and understand Armenian, and I think that segment went well. But now it's time for the older crowd here that likes to drink a little bit, and I don't mean like drink a bit like an alcohol, but I just mean just to have fun, to kick back with friends and have a little wine. And it's our wine segment with Anush. And how are you, Anush?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm kind of thinking you've got to be a little bit of a sad state right now with what's been happening in the West Coast with Napa and all that, with the bad forest fires.
Very heartbroken. It's such a sad situation, you know, what's going on. It is a disaster. It's these fires destroyed so much, so many, you know, lives, burnt so much homes, affected wineries, and it's just it's beyond comprehension. I think it's so sad. My heart breaks every time I think about it. It's in 2015, there were estimated that it's a $57 billion in economic activity.
Wow.
And, 7.2 billion, it's tourist related income. So this is all going to be affected.
Wow. That's pretty tragic. But when something like this happens, how long does it take for everything to get back to normal, everything to bounce back again?
So here is the what situation is, because it's later in the harvest. Most of the grapes were harvested, and a lot of winemaking has already started. They're estimating that only between 10 and 25% of the crop was still left hanging, like the grapes that are ripening later in the year. I think at the beginning they were saying that the smoke will not affect the flavor, but I believe that it will affect the flavor because the fire has been burning for so many days, and there is no way that this is not going to be noticeable in the grapes.
No way.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, Anush. If we see someone burning leaves, and I mean, when you go inside, you have that burning leaf smell on you, and you've been exposed to that for only a couple hours. Imagine those grapes having to go through that for days.
Yeah. So luckily, there wasn't too much left on the vine. So that is somewhat positive, but for those vineyards that have been burnt down, it's going to take for them 5 to 7 years to have a crop, and it will not be comparable to what they had already because, you know, the older the vines, the more complex fruit they produce, the more complex flavors in the grapes, etc. So the younger the vines are, the younger the taste is. Not necessarily it's not bad, but so that's going to take a while for them to replant and start up the the vineyards again. There were seven, at least, let me see, I had a note here, now, at least 7 wineries got completely destroyed, and then a lot of them have been affected.
Now, these weren't just affected in the vineyard. I mean, these were also, these wineries have also been affected by the finished product. I mean, you're seeing a lot of the wines itself that were in the bottles that were destroyed as well. Mm-hmm. So
the ones that got completely burned, the wineries that got completely burned, yes, everything is gone. Everything, because it's just the winery is burned down to the ground. And one of them was the one that came up was Signorello. And I mean, when I look at the list of these wineries,
you're at these places.
I have been to those places. I have tasted their wine. I have enjoyed their surroundings. It's very, very sad. I mean, to see that all of that destroyed. But you know, they're a very strong community. The winemakers of Paso Robles have just announced that for the whole month of October, even November, they're going to donate $1 from each bottle sold, and they have a lot of wineries in Paso Robles, and the output is a lot of the wine. So they were sending messages and posting for people whose wineries were in the affected areas. They were saying, you know, collect your stuff, bring it over here. You know, you can store it here until the fires die down.
So
the community has been very, they have been trying to help each other as much as they can to support, you know, that's, and when I live there, I noticed it too. Everybody is very supportive of each other. They share information with each other. They help each other. So,
well, it's not just
it's sad.
Yeah. It's not a business. It's a way of life out there. And that's definitely something that's affected everyone in that area. How does this affect the customers throughout America that depended on this wine as well?
So Napa and California do produce a lot of wine, but they are not the biggest producer in the whole California. Central California produces more wine. But having said that, you know, Napa and Sonoma have more upscale, you know, they have the cold wines, expensive wines, etc. So they are very sought after. It is going to affect the price and availability at some point once this vintage that 2017 for the some wineries that have been damaged, you know, they will be just out of product. But it's too early. They cannot yet estimate, you know, how significant the impact would it be. I don't see it being too significant on the wine, like as a whole, because there is so much wine in the world, but it's definitely affecting the individuals in there.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough. It's very tough.
What type of wine the Napa Valley has comparison to the world? I mean, is it more like Italian wine? Is it French wine? Is it Spain? What type of wine,
you know,
does it compare to?
Napa Valley typically associates with Bordeaux, France, where they produce wines made from Cabernet Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, those varietals. But having said that, Napa Valley AVA is so diverse that it has so many microclimates that the different pockets of Napa can grow Italian varietals. Some of them can grow the varietals of Rhone, some of them varietals of Bordeaux. There's a part of Sonoma has a lot of Zinfandel, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, but there is an you know, overlapping part, and that can grow both. So it's very diverse, but typically Napa Valley associates with this big Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, those varietals.
Okay.
That's the strongest association.
Yeah, and I asked if, you know, is French wine now going to enter the scene a lot more because of the Napa Valley tragedy with the forest fires?
I don't know. You know, I don't think so, because, you know, each of them has their own unique spot. Like I said, I don't know how much there's this. For now, they are estimating 10 wineries affected, but there is lots, like there's hundreds of wineries there. So they don't have an exact estimate of how big the impact would be. But, you know, for those who are looking for those varietals, I guess they would go to the French. But there's also the wine. There's so much wine in the world.
Right.
Abundance of wine. So, you know, unfortunately, I think everyone, you know, in the wine drinking world, they will be fine. It's just, again, like I said, it was more
individually
the
tragic,
wineries
yeah.
and the region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Themselves. But, you know, I wanted to, you know, it's a somber topic, very sad. I wanted to switch the gear a little bit.
Switch it up. Switch it up, Anush. I'm ready to switch it up, too. Let's switch it up.
You know, so something fun, something exciting that happened in Armenia. They had their ninth annual RNE festival in the Vajot region.
Yeah, I was there. So I was walking on it, on the grapes and all that. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So, yeah, they had the ninth annual festival, and they celebrated. I was looking through the videos, different postings. There were over 20 wineries or winemakers represented there. They had a lot of tourists. It was super fun, so I was really excited, hoping that maybe, you know, at some point I can go and participate in the festival too.
Well, that I tell
like
you what, you put wine or you put vodka, you put whatever in front of Armenians and little kebab next to it, I mean, that's the world. There's no question about it. I was getting my mouth water right now thinking about it, because these folks, they love to have a good time. We're a small country, but my God, I mean, we love our wine, we love our liquor, and we love our food.
Food, exactly. Yeah.
So what's out there right now, Anush? What type of wine do you recommend for us?
You know, I would. I just came across an article the other day. In Decanter, and they were showcasing an Armenian wine. They had a very good write-up about it, and I was thinking it would be great if I put out the name out there and people go and try to find it. And then again, you know, I'll just encourage, go to your small store, you know, tell them you want it, and they will ship it to you. It's it's wines by Van Arti, and they have it's an RNE varietal.
Now, what is that again? Maybe say it again so we could hear that.
So the winery is called, and the wine is called Van. It's VanArdi. And it's their reserve RNE. So has a very good, had a very good write-up in the wine magazine. Came up, I was so excited. I'm like, yes, I need to try it too.
Definitely.
Let's everybody try it. Let's everybody get it, try it, and then we can talk about it and share our experience.
And you said it.
I will post.
Go ahead.
I'll post the link, so if anyone is interested can read about it, and also the link where you can buy it.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Or how you can buy it.
And you've said it in the past to where people can find these at little retail stores, like mom and pop type of places. You got a better chance getting it at those type of places than a big place that sells. And that I thought that was kind of weird, because, you know, I would think if I wanted something, I'd go to Total Wine and I'd say, hey, can you guys get me Van and Ardy? And you said that you may not have a good enough chance going to a place like that as a smaller place.
Yeah, so East Coast and West Coast, where there is a lot of international product, Armenian stuff, it would be easier to find here. But, you know, in the Midwest or in the places where they don't have Armenian or, you know, maybe Georgian wines or et cetera, it would be easier to go to an individual store who is the owner, who is also the wine buyer. Mm-hmm. And you just go tell him, I'm looking for this wine. Can we locate, and I can give the information about the importer or the exporter. You know, they just contact him and it gets shipped. It's very easy.
Wow.
Wow, that's good to know. That's good to know. Hmm. And mm-hmm. they can do this any wines in the whole world then. If they send that. Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Von Ardy. Anything
Von Ardy.
Anything else happening in the wine world there?
There's lots of things happening.
Yeah,
lots of fun
sure,
things. There's
yeah.
something there is I'm going to give you a small preview of something where there is going to be happening an Armenian wine festival next year in September. And
next
it's called Guinea Fest.
Oh, wow. In Armenia?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, in Los Angeles. How about that?
Yeah.
I think I ought to come down for that one, too.
Yes, of course. Of course. Definitely. That is. You guys all should come out. We'll have a great time, taste the wine, have some food, and have a good time.
Great.
But, more details will be coming later on in the year. So
oh, can't wait. Anush, keep us posted on that. That'll be exciting news. Well, I tell you what, Anush, another great segment. I'm sorry I killed half your time on talking about Napa. But you know what? It's out there, and I just want to know about it. That's all.
Of course. I want to talk about it, too, because I posted my album from the time that I lived and worked there online. It's just I was so sad and, looking and remembering the good time and everything. I'm sure it's going to be back to a good time. There
of
doesn't
course.
Need time to rebuild. And it's just sad, human tragedy.
Right.
And, all the other the industry and everything, it's just a lot of work goes into blood and sweat goes into making wine. So,
well, I'm sure. I mean, you're not only overlooking what you do, but you have to battle Mother Nature and all that stuff that comes with it, too. So it's a tough gig for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it is.
Anyway, Anush, you have a great weekend. You got anything planned this weekend?
Camping with my son. He's now in Cub Scouts, so we're camping.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Are you going to use a lighter or are you going to use a stick? Matter of fact, don't do anything out in the wilderness. How about that? Don't light anything. Your state, anything you light over there, it becomes a forest fire. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to light anything.
I know. Yeah. I know. Not the best time, but.
No. Sorry to tell people that we were lighting anything over there. All right, Anush, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Take
you
care.
Too.
All right.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, it's time for our sports segment, and we've got that with Greg Asatorian. And you know what? That's no shot at Gare, because Gare's out there, too, in Argentina. He always finds us nice young Armenian players out there to keep a watch on. So this week we're going with Greg. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jono. It's a pleasure to be on. Speaking of Argentina, congratulations to them for qualifying to the World Cup. And hopefully 4 years from now, we'll be talking about Armenia taking that big step and qualifying to the World Cup.
Yeah, that big step is like me winning the lotto, though. I mean, Argentina always goes to World Cup play. Armenia, if we could. And you know what, Greg? I got to tell you, man, this all went to hell against Ireland. When our goalie went out and they called it a handball, and from that day on, we've never recovered.
It hasn't been the same. That controversial call, it seems like.
There was no controversy. They screwed us.
That's the bottom line. European officiating. We've seen scandals years after that. The whole FIFA operation came under fire, and we saw the things that were revealed, so it's not a shock that Ireland, the luck of the Irish, as they say, got the call on us. But, hey, this year it wasn't easy for Argentina. They had to sweat it out till the last minute, so it's been an interesting campaign. But until we get there 4 years from now, we got some great things happening in chess, gymnastics, wrestling, even a couple other surprising things right. that I'm looking forward to talk with you and the listeners. So
excellent.
We're on our way, though. We'll be there. You're going to be hitting that lotto sooner than you think.
I can't wait, brother. I can't wait. And, you know, it's not, folks, it's not about, oh, you know what, we're a small country and we don't have a lot of people. Well, this country in America, how many people we got here? Brian, we got a couple, 200, 300 million people here? And we can't produce a team to get to World Cup play. Now, you got other teams like, what, Trinidad, Tobago, whatever they're called. What do they got? Like 1 million, 2 million people? They've qualified for World Cup. Point is, it doesn't matter on the numbers. It matters on the commitment. Right, Greg?
Right on, John. I mean, look at Uruguay. They've been a traditional soccer powerhouse, and their population is far less than Armenia. Iceland, you've seen some of the best analysts in the game. And by the way, your soccer knowledge, I keep telling you, is up there. It was Tommy Smith, Taylor Twellman. He made that point about Iceland being the size of Corpus Christi in Texas, and they've qualified. So it's not about population. It's not about politics. Bottom line, it's about developing talent. I had a legendary former Armenian player who was part of the Ararat 73 team that went all the way to the European final, that defeated Bayern Munich in Armenia. And he told me this 4 years ago. I remember it like yesterday. He said, keep an eye on Iceland. They've brought coaches from Belgium, from the Netherlands. They're producing five academy teams at every age level from 7 years old on. Keep an eye on them. The federation is investing in developing the youth, and it's going to pay off. And he was right on. Now people on the mainstream soccer media are talking about Iceland like it's a miracle. But no, they developed their youth, they developed their academies, and it's paying off. And we need to do something similar for Armenia and obviously here in the United States as well. The resources are there, but bottom line, you're not going to win overnight. It has to be done consistently developing the youth.
Yep, yep. Well, amen to that, Yakhbar. So what do you got out there? What's been going on? What's the good things, the bad things? What's been going on with the Armenian sporting world out there?
You know, it's been an exciting month. I want to get away a little from soccer. We'll get back to some soccer talk, but I want to congratulate two Armenian warriors, two champions that I'm so proud to talk about them this morning. Maxim Manoukian and, you know, our Arthur Alexanyan, the wrestler who's been a blessing to our nation, Olympic champion.
He's a breeder. He's a stud.
Something else. He's incredible. Living legend. And both of these wrestlers were able to earn gold medals again in their respective weight categories at the World Wrestling Championship. So congrats to them. It doesn't stop with the Olympics. They went on to win the World Wrestling title just a couple of weeks back. And I saw the match, and it was just a true battle. And both of them, Maxim Manoukian and Alexanyan, who's done it all, hats off to them for making Armenia proud nationwide, earning gold medals in the World Wrestling Championships.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, though? I'll tell you this, too, Greg. And these are good-looking Armenian guys, too. I mean, you see the wrestlers. I try to watch these. And they look like they've eaten like 12 or 16 donuts, and they don't look like they could do anything but just hold on to someone. These guys, our Armenian wrestlers, majority of them, I tell you what, they're cut. They're physically looking like they're ready to go at least 10 rounds.
You're spot on. You know, whatever program they have going on with nutrition or their training, and I know – again, they don't have the same resources as far as training as some of the other nations, but they have great coaches. They stick to the script. They're disciplined. They're great athletes, and it's paying off. You're right, just from their physique as well. You could see they're in tip-top shape. It's not the quote-unquote image of a wrestler that one could think of. And, you know, gold to gold medals in the World Championships. That says it all. So
unreal.
It's a great accomplishment.
Bravo,
and how about I take you to a little – gymnastics, too. We got to be fair. If we're shouting out the wrestlers for doing a great thing, we can't forget our new European gymnastics champion, Harutyun Merikyan. So he just was able to win a gymnastics title, a European gymnastics title. So showing a good balance there from wrestling and gymnastics. So I'm excited. There's been some things happening.
Greg, I got to interrupt you on that. I think we've even had him on our show when they were down in Brazil. He got on the phone with us. With our show and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Hell, man, it's been really fun. We talked to a lot of gymnasts down there and wrestlers, too, while they were down there.
How awesome is that? I got to listen to that episode. That's awesome. And my buddy Rosmik Arabian, Coach Rosmik, who's in Armenia working on a project, he called me and told me about the gymnastics title. He was real excited. So that's awesome. And you speak with him again, let him know. Congratulations from all of us here. And it doesn't stop there, Jono. You know, there's been another sport, another world-renowned, all everywhere in the world, people play this game, chess. And I'm proud to say Armenians have dominated chess, and it's continued again recently. And the same buddy of mine I mentioned, Rosmik, he was in attendance to watch Levon Aronyan defeat in the finals of the world. This is the World Chess Cup. So, you know, we're making strides here. World Chess Cup. Next thing, the World Cup, as you know, and we're able to see Levon Aronyan win a gold medal. So this happened September 27. He defeated a Chinese opponent. So you could add that to the list. We've had a lot of success in chess. The president of Armenia has invested in a lot of programs, and it's paying off.
And that, and on top of that, folks, Aronyan at that time was really, I don't know if it happened or was happening, the whole wedding, congratulations to him out there. And with that going and still becoming where you're at and winning at that level, that's something else. I mean, you're not distracted at all.
Oh, no. And it was, I believe, 3 days before his wedding. And
Jesus.
The president was the godfather of his wedding. So just think about that.
President of Armenia, the godfather. How cool is that, man?
That's on another level. That's something else. But you're spot on. You know, I just think about all the things going on in a game like chess where you've got to mentally lock it.
I mean, Greg, when we're doing the wedding and everything, we got to worry about this. We got to worry about that. And the future wife is calling saying that we got to get this. And this guy blocks all that. And makes it all happen at the chess table. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Think about that, folks.
I don't know how. Let me tell you this, John. I'm a couple months away. I haven't even planned a wedding date, but I'm a couple months away from going through all that, and I can tell you it's on my mind every day. So it's weighing down on my mind. All the details. I don't even want to get into it. Let's talk about sports, but, you know, I don't know how this man pulled this up.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine that. Anyway, so Aronyan, he's making it happen in the chess matches. What else is happening?
Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you why all Armenians worldwide, from Argentina to Missouri to L.A., even though we all have our different favorite NFL teams, but this weekend we should all be cheering for the New York Jets. And I'll tell you why. The Jets have won 3 games in a row, and a former buddy of mine, I haven't been in touch with him recently, he's been busy, but he's been making all Armenians proud. Austin Safarian Jenkins, a great kid. He's played in the last 3 games for the Jets. He overcame some obstacles in his young career. The 3 games that he has started, the Jets have won all those 3 games. And look at the numbers that he has produced. He has had 15 receptions. He's a promising tight end, former second-round draft pick, for 106 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, you're a
not
football
bad.
Guy.
That's a tight end.
That great.
That's a tight end.
That's a tight end.
Yeah.
So you could speak honestly. And I tell you a side note about him. 2.5, 3 years ago, I think it was his rookie season, I had a chat with him, and he was actually going to be on the show. Then we had a mutual friend. I lost contact, and he told me this. I'll never forget this. He said, one thing I regret about my upbringing, that I didn't spend more time around Armenians. I have a lot of relatives and friends, but I wish I could have been in the community right there in L.A. feeling all that love. And, you know, he's posted on his social media pages pictures of the flag, pictures with his relatives.
Wow.
So he's a good kid, and let's hope he continues. Let's hope off the field he stays on track as well. And it's good to see him making some national headlines with his good play recently.
And you know what, folks? That's a tough market. If you guys don't know what New York's all about, you have to produce in New York. If you don't produce, they will have you on the front page and saying, what the hell are you doing on this team? So the kids definitely, I mean, that's a wide receiver. That's a two wide receiver right there type of stat. So God bless him. I'm sure he's going to make a lot of headways for the Jets this year.
So you said it best, John. It's the toughest market to play at for any sport. And, you know, let's keep it going. Hopefully he has some good stats and a good performance against the Patriots defense this weekend and keeps it going. So I was real proud to see him get off to the NFL season start with a strong start.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, you know what? I'm a Cowboy fan, but I can relate to having an Armenian. So does that Simeon, that Armenia, is that an Armenian name, the Denver Broncos QB? Is that anything related with Armenian?
That's a good point. You know, I researched that. That's a good point. The Northwestern kid, Trevor Siemian, he doesn't have any Armenian ancestry. So that's just a coincidence. I kind of thought about it, too, because it sounded Armenian, the
right
spelling fit. But, yeah, I researched it, and nothing came up. So
okay.
That's a good catch by you, too. But, you know, you even though he did a number on your Cowboys, so good thing.
Let's move on. Let's move on, Greg. Let's move on, babe. Forget about that. So
well, I'm going to throw a little curveball your way. How about a little curveball MLB postseason? You know, I'm a big baseball fan, so it's an exciting time of the year. Some great postseason matchups are happening, and it's a real honor. I've been watching Matt Buskirchen, the lead announcer now for Fox Sports for baseball, since he was a San Diego Padres announcer. He's a local USC graduate, Armenian, and he has done a terrific job now on Fox Sports nationwide.
Excellent.
Him and the Hall of Famer John Smoltz calling these games the epic Yankees Indians series. So it's a real treat to watch him. And then when the game's over, you know, we flip on ESPN, the post game on SportsCenter, who's the main baseball guy there anchoring with Carl Ravage in baseball tonight? None other than Tim Kirkjian, another proud Armenian who's a baseball guru. I'm sure you watch his work on SportsCenter. So it's been awesome having some Armenians in the MLB playoff mix, analyzing games, calling games, breaking it all down for the viewers.
You know what? That's great because Tim Kirkjian's cousin was on the show.
Oh, he's an author, right? If I'm not mistaken,
he retired now. He's part of that Boston Globe where they
writer. Yeah, that's right.
I think Stephen Kirkjian.
Right,
that's the one. That's the one. He was on our show. Great guy. Great guy.
There you go. And Tim as well. I could tell you, a friend of mine who was majoring in journalism, then he went into a different career path. This was years back, 8 or 9 years back. At random, he reached out to Tim Kirkjian. I think he sent an email, or it was a while back, before the whole Twitter craze and everything else. And Tim actually personally called him, spent a lot of time with him over the phone, giving him tutelage and things of that nature, kind of mentoring him, helping him on a paper. So Tim Kirkjian is a great guy, great baseball mind, and I'm looking forward to continuing to watch both Matt Buskirchen and Tim Kirkjian during the MLB playoffs.
Isn't it amazing? And this is just not about sports, but it reflects on being Armenian. If you see an Armenian and he reaches out to you or she reaches out to you, it's almost like it's not an obligation, but you feel like it's something that you want to do. It's something that you want to help out, something that you just say, you know what, I got to see what I can do to help this person out. Isn't that it's in us. It's in us like a magnet.
You said it best, and firsthand I could attest to that, what you did for our soccer players when I reached out to you.
I don't worry
years
about
back.
That.
You're a humble man, but, you know, I'll never forget that. And, you know, speaking of soccer, Jono, now moving on from the Diamond and the MLB, I got to talk about our under-21 youth national team. The Armenian under-21 national team has been participating in World Cup qualifying, and they've done well. Last time I was on, I told you that they were making good strides. They had a couple of good results. They suffered a little setback against Austria in their last game last week, but overall, right now, Armenia's in third place. 2 points behind Serbia and tied with Russia, who's also who's in second place due to goal differential. And our next two games are against Serbia and Russia. So this is a great opportunity.
Wow.
In November, next month, if they could get two good results, they have a great chance to qualify to the Under-21 World Cup. So it's not going to be easy. Both Serbia and Russia are good teams, but Armenia's already had a 0-0 draw against Russia. So the second game should be interesting. So they're right there in the heart of things, third place, only 2 points away from qualifying.
You know what? It's with that chemistry, Greg, does it descend to a future national team, or how does this? I mean, if we're having such a good luck with these kids, shouldn't it transcend to the national team in the future?
It really should, and you have a great sports mind, so this is the toughest thing with this. You have these kids that play well together, they have great chemistry, but you also have some of these veterans who are 30, 31, even 28 to that 30 range, and every country goes through this. You have the youth generation making their step, making their mark at the youth level. Now the World Cup qualifying campaign is around. Let's say 4 years from now, there's some critical games coming up. Do you, as a coach, as a federation in any sport, do you at that time kind of pull away from your veteran guy and go with a youth movement? Because you can't have it both ways. Most of the teams had to decide, okay, we're going to go with the kid in this position. So it's a dilemma. If you have a coach.
Really, though, Greg, I'm going to interrupt you on this. How is it a dilemma if you're getting beat up 0-5, 0-4, 0-6. You've lost your fan base. It's time now to make a change. I don't care who you got. Leave Mkhitaryan in there. Have him just tell the kids, this is how we do things. This is how it's supposed to be done. Don't look at your past players, but look at from what I played. Look at who I played against and try to mimic me. Try to galvanize around how I play. And I just think that there's got to be some changes.
You're right on, but the encouraging signs are there. The last couple games, Artur Petrosyan, the national team head coach, did what you just said and what I was hinting at. Most coaches, they get scared. If you notice, some big names were missing from the roster, Aras Ozbili, Sarkisov, and there were some young kids in there playing up top. Sarkis Adamyan, Korayan again. You had some young defenders that were called up to the national team for the first time. So if that's a sign of things to come, maybe he just did it now because they had nothing to play for after being eliminated and he wanted to give the youngsters some experience. But down the line, time will tell. If he goes back to these veterans, like you said, what have these veterans got us so far? Nothing. You know, the results aren't there. Let's be honest. The red cards are continuing to be a problem. It's been frustration that's built in. Why not give more of these young players an opportunity? So let's see. It's going to be interesting to see what direction it goes, but I'm with you all the way. As a coach, you got to go with the better player. Doesn't matter if he doesn't have experience. Let's go back to football. All I got to say is Dak Prescott for your Cowboys, you know, that says it all. If you see a player that's ready to step up, you got to go with him. You know, and yeah. Same thing here. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things that you might not I was just looking it up while you were talking about the Under-21. Our women's basketball, our Armenians women's basketball, and our men's basketball, I think, you know what, if teams are thinking they're just going to take advantage of Armenia and just beat them by 30-40, they got another thing coming. These kids and these folks are coming to play, men and women.
That is so awesome to hear, and we have talented young basketball players here in the home and men programs all over Southern California, and I'm sure nationwide as well, and I know a couple of players participated in some of these tournaments, and they had a great experience, so that's awesome to hear about basketball. And I know recently, even the Under-21 team that they did well in a European tournament or in Romania, or it was the national team. So,
well, we had their coach. We had their coach, and you know, it's tough. It's tough on getting rounding. It's all about economics, Greg. It's all about finding these players, having local Armenian teams playing against the Armenian national teams and so forth. I mean, it's almost like they have to come hand in hand, and the economics plays a big role in it too. And for us to stand out amongst that, and still, you know, our women just on October 7th they just beat Kosovo in the. Just the way we're doing things, we just come together and we get the job done.
That's awesome to hear, and that's encouraging. And basketball too, and you know that coach did a heck of a job. That he did a tremendous job with the team. I was reading some articles, so great job by him. Hats off to him, and it's better and better for the sporting world. Everything from chess, gymnastics, wrestling. Soccer, basketball.
We're all over, aren't we?
That's it.
We're all over the place. And it starts with people like Greg and people like throughout the region that just care about the local programs. If we didn't have these local programs, folks, we wouldn't have what we have out there right now representing Armenia, because people like Greg, people like me, people like Hovannis in New York or Florida or wherever, you know, we're seeing these talents and we're letting people know about it. And you know what? The people in Armenia are saying, okay, let's give them a shot. Let's make things happen. So you know what? That's beautiful.
Well said, and hopefully it continues. I know it will continue, and we're going to be talking more and more about these great accomplishments by our athletes. So this was great to see, and I'm sure it's going to go in that direction.
Yeah. All right, Greg, another great segment. Yechbar, I appreciate it. Anything going on in L.A.?
You know, John, everything's good out here. I haven't been as active as much, but everything's good. And I'm looking forward to spending the holiday season. Might be traveling to Armenia myself, so I'll keep you updated. Might be catching a...
Can we call you when you're over there? Can we call you when you're...
Definitely.
Oh, beautiful.
Definitely. So I'll be in touch with you, Yechbar. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be on it. You know what? I'm impressed that some of the names that I told you, and right away you said it. You had them on your show. So you've done a terrific job from recognizing the achievements from gymnasts, wrestlers, basketball. So that was such a treat for me to hear that you had so many guests on from the sporting world too. You know, it's great. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Greg. And, hey, keep in touch. We'll have you back on the show with anything sporting pops up. Let me know. We'll have you back on here, babe.
Appreciate it, George. And take care. Yes, bye. It was
all
great
right.
to be on.
All right. That's Greg Assatoria, my friends. And Greg's part of our sports team there, Brian. The man gets the job done. All right, Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Wow. I'm inspired now. I want to go in the weight room. I want to work out. I want to start. I'm too old for that now. But I tell you what, we do have some young athletes out there, and they're making some noise, and they're waving the Yera Queen, and we love you guys for it. You know, even if you're not, you're an Armenian, and you're out there in the professional world, NFL. Folks, we got to – NFL, if you're half Army, I don't care. You're still Armenian, and you're playing in the NFL. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What else is beautiful is getting on Amazon from ArmeniaProud.com on your right-hand side and getting on Amazon. I know you guys are out there shopping on Amazon. You got a lot of holidays popping up now. Why not go through Amazon through our site at ArmeniaProud.com? And just click away, shop away. You won't see us again. Once you click there, you'll be on Amazon, and we get a little love back. So we support you guys can support us. Not we support, but you guys can support our show by doing that. And, Brian, our time's up again. Long show, but it was a good one. Thank you so much, my friends. Genatsit Kisher Party. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter @ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.